Today is that Sunday between Christmas and New Year. And for some of you, you've already turned the page and you're already in the new year. But wait a second. 2012 isn't over yet. We've still got a couple of days. We've still got some time. Maybe God isn't through with 2012 just yet. Do you have some unfinished business? Do you have some things that need to turn the page? Some things that need to be accomplished? Some relationships that could use a tune-up? You fill in the blank. Is there unfinished business? The passage I'm going to share with you today comes out of Genesis chapter 18. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. I'm going to read a very interesting story. The title of today's message is God's Work, colon, a laughing stock. And now the Lord appeared to him, that is, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and he looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth, and he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife. And he said, "Quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour. Knead it, make bread cakes." And Abraham also ran to the herd. He took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant. And he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, "There in the tent." He said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you. At this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, clear and plain. And on this day now, I ask you to speak to us. Lord, in the words of that chorus, speak to me, Lord. speak to me right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have to understand something about this story. Abraham and his journey, it's a journey of God's sovereignty, of God choosing a man, and out of that man to create a people. And all of the miraculous things that took place when they were way over in another land, and when the Lord speaks to him and says, Abraham, get up out of this country and you go to the land that I'll show you. He has a lot of experiences where there are special places. This is a place by the oak of Mamre, where he has seen the Lord before, where he has heard from God before. And here the Lord comes to him again. Now, what is the promise that the Lord had made to Abraham and Sarah? Remember the promise? You're going to have a child. Not only are you going to have a child, but your seed is going to be like the sands of the sea. Now here they are, and in Sarah's own words, past childbearing years. They're very old. They've tried to fix God's problem for him with doing it another way, having another woman to bear a child for them, Ishmael. And we see that battle being fought out still till today. Man's attempts to help God out of his dilemma. But now they get a visit in the heat of the day. Three guys come by. Now, a lot of interpretations as to about these three. Let me give you a few. We'll exhaust these. I'll move on and I'll show you from the text why some of those interpretations cannot be true. One of the interpretations is that the three, it is a representative of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That they're there. Sounds all neat, clean and all, but doesn't work in the text. Because the two leave and one is left there and he is addressed as Lord in the passage. Some say it's three angels, but again, the text speaks, Lord uses his name, his covenant name, Yahweh, in the text. If you read in the Hebrew, that's how he addresses him, Yahweh. So as I look at it, you have the Lord is there. And it's something I love. One of the guys that John has gotten us on to for Chuck Missler, great Bible teacher, he has a great description of this. He said, when theologians can't understand something, they create a new word that nobody understands. And the new word that they created for this is a theophany. It's a theo, which means God, Fanny, which means revelation, a God revelation that happens there. Well, essentially, yes, the Lord is there. I believe a pre-incarnate appearance of Yeshua himself is there. The Lord, who is Lord overall. Accompanied by two angels. Now, later on in the text, you'll see that this is when the two angels go down to the city of Sodom. They're announcing that judgment there to retrieve Lot, to get him out of there, God's messengers. But that wasn't their primary mission at that time. Let's delve into the text a little bit and see several applications for us. First of all, the Lord often speaks in the middle of other things happening. It sometimes is that still small voice. There's a rush of activity and all, and then there's God's voice. Can you recount a time in your life where God was speaking to you like that? Plenty of action, plenty of stuff happening all around you, like little minor explosions. And yet you hear the voice of God. In a time like that, it requires very purposeful listening. Note from Abraham, it says in verse 2, "And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth." I want you to know that at this time, it seems that Abraham was ready to meet God. He was ready. His heart was ready. There are these three show up. The Lord himself, I believe, this pre-incarnate revelation of the Christ, of Yeshua, accompanied by two angels, and they show up there. You know, the Scripture says that we entertain angels unawares. Scripture says that. Any of you feel like at some time in your life you've entertained angels? I do. There was an experience in my life years ago where someone came to visit me, and as I think about that later on, I believe the Lord has sent one of his angels to be there and come and visit me. Can't prove that today, but the Scripture does say it happens. Here is Abraham ready to hear from God, and God shows up. I want to ask you today, a couple of days left of 2012, are you ready to hear what God has to say to you for these last 2 days of this year? He does things in times and in seasons. And until one season is full, the other doesn't begin. 2012 isn't full yet. We still got a couple of days. What might the Lord do and say for you if you were ready to hear Him? And you see, you can't be distracted by the other stuff that's going on. And Abraham could have been distracted by a lot of things. He could have been angry with God. Have you ever been angry with God? Well, three of us are honest here. That you ask God questions. He could have done all that. But he was eager and ready for this meeting. He didn't know it was going to happen, but when it came, oh, he received it. Secondly, the Lord will come directly to you. He'll show up on your doorstep. You know the problem with all the world religions? Well, many problems, but one primary problem is it's all about people climbing up, getting to a point so that whatever this revelation of their God can speak to them. What happens here? Emmanuel. God shows up on his doorstep and speaks directly. He'll do that for you. Now, "My Lord, if now I've found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Then I'll bring a piece of bread." Do you see what he's doing? Now, I believe Abraham would have made a pretty good Philadelphia attorney. And you'll see later on when he bargains for the lives of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But even in this, as he's talking to the Lord, he's bargaining with the Lord. Do you see what he's doing? He sees the Lord is on his way, is on a mission, on his way. And he's doing anything he can to delay the Lord. Let me wash your feet. Oh, while you're here, have a piece of bread. Oh, gets his servant to go and slay a calf. And before you know it, you know, he doesn't come right out and say, oh, stop here and we'll prepare a gigantic banquet for you. No, that's not what he does. He's doing anything he can to get the Lord to delay and not pass by. Do you see the heart of that? Is that how you treat your time with God? Lord, don't delay. Stay with me. Stay with me now, Lord. Now, he has enough of the difficulty. As all this is taking place and he's preparing this meal, the Lord then asks him a question. Where is Sarah, your wife? That's a good question. Yeshua shows up at your doorstep, at your tent, with two angels. Wouldn't it just be kind of nice and courteous for her to come out of the tent? What does that mean? It means that Sarah is not at the place spiritually that Abraham is at this time. There's a gulf there. There's a gulf. And God's about to do something about that gulf. He's about to bring them together over this next year. Are you waiting on friends and family before you're going to be obedient to the Lord? Are you waiting on them to do the right thing? And maybe it's somebody that you've respected in your life before. Maybe it's someone that you have walked with before. Someone that you have seen God do great, mighty things through their life. You know, there are times you can look back and you think, well, you know, Sarah might have been the more spiritual one at this time. But she's hiding in the tent. Then, let's read on. And he said, she's there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And then what does Sarah do? She's laughing. She's not laughing with God. She's laughing at God. That's ridiculous. That's preposterous to think that something like that, that a miracle could happen. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I've become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for Yahweh, for the Lord? And that's the question, the burning question that is in this passage of Scripture. Is anything too difficult for Him? What dream, what hope, what ambition, what thing that you feel like you clearly heard from the Lord that He was going to do, that He promised you? Have you given up on it? Have you then too joined Sarah and laughed and said, hey, that's impossible for God to do something like that? What is impossible for God? Nothing. We see that from the whole Christmas story. We see it from there in the story with Mary. What was impossible with man is possible with God. God can do it. But you see, when a miracle happens, when there's a promise of a miracle, we've got to be ready to claim it. Claim it and say it's mine. You can't be distracted by those who don't believe. I want to ask you, at the end of this, you read the story. Do you see where Sarah really has this big turning and believes? Answer, no. She doesn't. We do see trust and faith by the actions that Abraham takes, but not on Sarah's part. Until she gets pregnant. And isn't that just like God? Now think of it. Think of Sarah. Put yourself in her place. You ladies, you've laughed at God. God came to your door and He's spoken this truth to you. You didn't believe. You laughed out loud. Then when He called you on it, and you lied about it and said, no, I didn't say that. You know, can you see the distance that is here with her? He says, by this time next year, you will have a child. So let's put this together. 12 months later, assuming a 9-month gestation period, 3 months after this, she's pregnant. And this child begins to grow in her. Now, she's having a feeling she had never had before. She was an old woman. She had never been a mother. She had only observed others have children. She didn't know what those feelings were. Imagine that rush of all the bodily changes that took place on a daily basis. Can you imagine? Morning sickness. Think about it, ladies. Think about life. Think about those trimesters. What it went like for her. And then when she starts showing, how many times do you think that she revisited her laughter? And what does God do with her laughter? Huh? Exactly. He becomes the example of that. There, as God will take something that you think is impossible, and then He recreates it and makes it into something beautiful. The laughter of sorrow became the laughter of joy. This child that the Lord would give her. In fact, you read on over in chapter 21 when Isaac is born. You've got to be ready to claim that miracle. You can't be distracted by those who don't believe. And you know what? You don't even have to believe in the miracle for it to happen to you. Sarah's the example of that. Because when God decides to do it, He's going to do it. I want you to see also in this passage, just a little side note, we see different places where the Lord will seems to come back to those places. The Oaks of Mamre is a place that He comes back to. Comes back to, brings them back to where He speaks to them. Where does God bring you back to speak to you? There's usually a pattern. It becomes a sacred place. Do you have some sacred places in your life where God speaks sometimes? Two days. 2012 is not done yet. And God's not done speaking with you. He's passing by. He's shown up at your tent door. Which response will you have to Him? Will you rush out and do everything in your power to get Him to stay longer? Or will you try to ignore Him and scoff at what He says? Will you persist when you know you've heard from the Lord? Will you persist and say, God, I know You spoke to me. I choose You. And will you receive what He gives? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything in your life too difficult for Him? Maybe a family situation. Maybe a family member that is not a Christian. Maybe an illness in a friend or family member where they need a miracle. Maybe a financial difficulty. Anybody got any of those? We pray. We ask God to come. The Scripture says the just shall live by faith. Won't you put it out before Him right now? What is it? He's wanting to come and meet you where you are. Won't you let Him speak? Hear all what He has to say. Let's bow our heads. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. Christ will come into your life and He'll make you a new person. Won't you receive Him today? He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And once you receive Him into your life, He will never leave you. This is His promise. You say, I'm too far gone. Nothing is impossible with God. You need to see a healing happen in your family, in your own life. Nothing is impossible with God. A reconciliation between family members, a wandering child or parent who is away from the Lord, nothing is impossible with God. A financial difficulty that just looms over your head, nothing is impossible with God. Won't you take the step of faith? He's shown up at your door. Why not invite Him in and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. 2 days left of 2012. What is God speaking to you? Lord, we ask You to come now. We ask You to speak. We ask You to move. Jesus, You are Lord over all. And just like You delivered the child a promise, Isaac, the laughter, we thank You, Lord. And thank You that we're living in a day when we see those descendants that are going back to the land. And all that God has spoken come true. We bless You, Lord. Bless You. Now, Lord, we bring ourselves before You and ask You to come in our hour of need. How we need You today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. The altar's open. you could look here for just a moment. We have a prayer request.
Hey, some of you may know my nephew, Michael, on my husband's side of the family, is in the NICU right now at Memorial, and I just went to go see him between breakfast and our service, and just knew right away I wanted us all to pray for him, and he is in a medically induced coma, and he is just fighting for his life. The flu is the main thing, as odd as that may sound, because he's just very unhealthy in other ways, and his body's just not up for this flu. And if he slips too low in these numbers, he can go into a real coma. And that had almost happened this morning. And his high blood pressure is skyrocketing, his lungs, he's on a respirator. So I just really feel like I want all of us to pray together for Michael, please.
Let's pray right now. Lord, we come in agreement as we intercede for the life of this young man. Ask you, Lord, come. Come with your power. Touch his body right now. I pray, Lord, that Lord, you will wipe away the disease, the sickness that is in between, and you will restore him today. Come, Lord. Come right now. Come with your power. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to receive our offering today. I know some of you have already given your offering. And want to remind you, if you have some gifts you'd like to bring before the end of the year, we could sure use it. November was a great month financially for us. October was the pits, and December was worse than October. We live by faith every week. That's how it is. There's no huge bank accounts anywhere, any stuff where you can just go grab here and yon. It's by faith. So if God's put it on your heart today, please come through with that. We will be receiving any offerings that you want to give by the end of the year through tomorrow. The Lord bless you in that. So, Gary, if you'll play, and we'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it this time.
Yeshua, Savior, Emmanuel, glory to God.
If you would look this way one more time. These poinsettias you see up here, you can take them. Just don't let your dogs or your kids eat the leaves, okay? And please take them. And we're awfully glad to have Tammy back with us. Stand up, Tammy.
I am so glad to be back. You're the new
time. And I'm sure we'll be hearing some testimony from Tammy, but the Lord's done a lot of things in her life, and we're glad she's back here, so you be sure to pray for her. The Lord bless you. Go in His grace.